Who am I talking to?
Dustin Simons with Big Block Bikes.
Okay, Big Block, is that new, brand new this year, or have I just not noticed?
It's brand new, so the business started existing in April, so here we are.
Wow, okay, so you picked a time to jump into the bike industry when many people are leaving. Why?
Yeah, clearly my business sense is a lot worse than my fabrication ability, you know, but yeah, I mean, I just decided that, you know, I've been building bikes for several years and just decided I couldn't build any more for me and my wife. Like, I had to, you know, be able to build them for someone else, and so...
You had more you wanted to get out of your system.
I had a lot more bikes in my head than room in my garage.
Okay, yeah. What were you doing prior to this?
So, I'm actually an engineer, so my day job, I still am, you know, doing that until this takes off, I'll say, but...
So you're currently working as an engineer.
Yeah.
What type of engineer and where?
I'm a mechatronics engineer, so I work in North Carolina, so in the medical industry.
Okay, that's very cool. I would say keep that job.
Yeah,
have fun in the bike industry.
Yeah, exactly. you know, no one ever said I was going to get rich doing this, but
you will lose money. But if you've got a good income otherwise, maybe you can enjoy yourself.
Yeah, considering the business is 4 months old, losing money is what I'm best at right now. Yeah.
Well, all I've done is lose money, but I've had a hell of a time.
Yeah, I'm having fun, and so this is my first show, and just the, you know, the act of getting all these bikes together and hauling them across the country has been great. So,
okay, yeah. So I'm looking right here at two road bikes. I think one's getting pictures
one's getting
taken, probably.
Photos. So I've got, this is my cyclocross, and that's my gravel bike.
Okay, yeah. And you're a road bike guy.
I'm definitely a drop bar guy.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a very particular thing going on with the construction here that maybe you want to explain, since it catches my eye because it's counter trend and does some things very different from what we tend to see nowadays.
Sure. So so both of the ones you're looking at are steel frames, and I do everything in CAD parametrically, so all of the tube junctions are 3D printed stainless. And so my kind of design methodology philosophy is I kind of build these stock models that have custom geometry. So since everything's in CAD, you're very familiar with CAD, you know, I have this bike exists as a model, and I can scale it to the millimeter to
just reparametize it.
Exactly. Right. So all the work is up front, and you get a custom bike without having to start from scratch every time.
Well, I would say your top tube is half the size of anybody else's here. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I apologize. No one beats Rob English.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, but yours are fairly small a la Rob English, although your seat stays are a little bit larger than his is.
For
but
sure.
That's a definite top tube choice. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I mean, I build in steel, and I really like leaning into that. I mean, every, you know, modern bikes, because of carbon, because of tie bikes, like, the tubes get bigger, more and more oversized. I really wanted my bikes to kind of lean into the fact that they are steel bikes, and so, yeah, I have this, you know, Reynolds ovalized top tube. Also for this bike, I really like it because this is for cyclocross, so it feels great on your shoulder while you're running. So it kind of plays double duty, but a lot
until you learn to lower your top tube and use your saddle instead.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe we should just be bunny hopping, you know.
I've done it. I respect that.
Yeah, I mean, my buddy who's a lot better at
I'm anti-traditionalist with cyclocross. I think it would be good to modernize cyclocross in its thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty bad at cyclocross. I just love doing it.
Sure, sure.
Which is what that's the tradition I like to carry out, which is you can be very unserious and still have a blast of cyclocross.
Okay, well, I mean, this bike seems to make me think you take it a little bit serious on some point. What else other than this top? Oh, and also, by the way, it's fairly easy to ovalize butted tubes, so you may find that you get a little bit more tube choice by just ovalizing your tubes yourself.
Yeah, and
I only just started doing it. I put it off for years because I was like, I just want to buy some ovalized tubes.
Right.
And they don't exist. They're old stock or blah, blah, blah. And it's like, And then I was looking at an English bike, and I'm like, and I call up Rob, and I'm like, "What's up with the ovalization, dude? What are you doing?" And he's like, "You can do it. It's fine." And I did it, and it was fine. You know?
Yeah. Two planks of wood and a press, right?
I would go a little further than little that if you want good results, but it's similar to that.
100%.
What else would I not necessarily notice right off the bat here, or on the other bike that you think is special?
Well, something special to me that I love about this bike. So you see this little car right here? So this bike, so I'm from North Carolina.
This is a Kingsford bike.
It is. It's the Kingsford charcoal bike. So there's a hot dog stand outside of Pisgah National Forest called Celebrity Hot Dogs. And it's run by a guy named Robert Presley, an ex-NASCAR driver. So he went and, you know, rode the Daytona 500.
Are you a total NASCAR fan?
Yeah, I grew up in it. You know, I'm from North Carolina.
You have to.
And so, you know, I walked into this hot dog stand after a ride, and the guy's running the register, and I was like, I can't believe this is such a crazy thing. And so it just, like, with me to, you know, build this kind of gravel race bike for a race car. And so, you know, I don't know if you see, but I did a couple of parody logos of a couple of the companies around here.
No, you're trying to keep it in theme. It's cool.
Exactly. And so another big reason I love steel bikes is I love paint. So I do all my own paint work.
Oh, so it's wet?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. That's something I'm not going to do. It looks nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm, you know, really into the, I think painting a bike is just as important to me as fabricating a bike as far as like what the impact it gives to me and loving to ride it. And so it's a great fit for steel, right? You can paint a titanium or a carbon bike.
I look at paint as rust proofing.
It's certainly functional too.
But that's how deep I take it. It's color choice and rough, color job and rust proof, I call it.
Well, I tell you what, it's funny how, you know, if you want to be a frame builder and you buy all these special tools and you can finally build a frame and then you want to paint one, you're kind of starting over again. None of the tools overlap.
Right,
you got a whole bunch more stuff.
Totally different.
Yeah, you're out to lunch. But
okay, one of the things I'm asking people at the show, and it's not about this bike, it's about you and what you're doing, and this isn't about money, because I'm asking about what are your constraints and what are your cheat codes for you doing what you do?
Yeah.
And everybody has a problem with money. Don't mention money.
No.
But, you're going to have a certain set of constraints that make things, that define the box you're working in, and then you're going to have cheat codes where you got this on lock and you're beating everybody at this.
I've got great answers.
Oh, good.
My constraint is I work in a basement. So I am physically constrained in a lot of ways. So
you have a bench and a wall.
I have a bench and a wall. I paint my bikes in a blow-up bounce house in my backyard. You know, so there's a very real limitation to kind of the sophistication that I can bring from a fabrication standpoint. But my cheat code that's kind of born out of that constraint is I do everything in CAD, right? So
I'm a fan.
I know.
Because the more you do in 3D, it's like in 3D parametric CAD, it makes, especially now with 3D printing, it's just like you've cut so many corners right away.
And you can do a lot of work. I can do a lot of work up front. I can spend, 200 hours in CAD getting the bike model exactly how I want so that when it's time to build another bike, I have that workflow optimized. And that doesn't stop at designing the lugs. Like, I 3D print all my own tooling. I'm sure you do too. Like, I 3D print the organization in my shop. And so that's really my cheat code, is like having the ability to design in CAD and kind of being a CAD first builder. So
it might help also that you're, as a professional engineer, that you're in work environments that teach you about projects that take years, teams where different people have different skills that you learn from, and ways of doing things that really smart people have worked on.
Yeah.
Some people that come into the bike industry generally have worked in a bike shop, and that's about what they know.
100%.
And that's a whole different world.
Yeah, the funny thing for me is I think there's two types of builders that I've met. There's fabricators and artists, right? So there's a lot of artists.
I prefer to be an engineer.
And so a lot of artists have to learn how to build bikes. I came in pretty comfortable with the building and had to learn how to be an artist a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And so that's
uh-huh.
been kind of a fun journey.
And how long have you been building?
So a couple years, but the like I said, the business is only a few years old. But sure. I've been building stuff all my life. So I'm big block bikes because I grew up wrenching on cars and, you know, these big steel behemoths. That
you're our NASCAR representative.
I am probably the NASCAR representative for Portland, Oregon today. Yeah.
I used to work at Sears Point at a race shop that did antique race car work.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know, like we had a proper Cobra Daytona in the shop,
awesome.
And it caught on fire one day.
that's a feature, actually.
Well, but it's an $8 million car.
Yeah, that was an expensive day for that person.
But like in that shop, I guess some rich bro was getting a sleeper built so that he could like drive it around, and he had a proper NASCAR engine.
Oh, yeah.
In a, I can't remember the car that it was, but it was enough that you'd think it was a light muscle car.
Right.
And it was like, no, this is kind
of. It was serious.
It was the real thing under that hood. Holy shit.
Well, that's what I love. Like, I find a lot of parallels to how I build bikes, right? Like, if you have a 2026 Toyota Camry, it'll blow the doors off of a 70 GT500 Mustang.
Sure. Yeah.
But which one do you want to get in, right?
And well, so that's I like the Camry.
Yeah, well, that's the engineer in you.
I know. I've never been a car guy. That's my thing. I'm a motorcycle guy for sure.
But like, it's funny because like steel bikes are kind of the same thing. It's like there's carbon bikes all over. There's high people with millions of dollars of R&D budget optimizing them to the nth degree. Like that we don't really. That's not what it's about, right?
Sure. Well, to be really fair. Good. They're optimizing for sales,
yes.
Nothing else.
That's a great point.
Right.
And so there's no point in any of us trying to compete with that. Let's build something that we want to ride.
I say you're never going to out-polish a turd. There's plenty of people here that know how to polish turds way better than we do, and they'll work twice as hard.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. It was a striking thing. I do love... I don't know if I like it on a bike sense, but on a artistic or maybe design choices thing, the way that top tube meets the cluster is interesting.
Yeah.
And it catches the eye.
Certainly.
Also the flanked edge here.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Very cool. And I like the theme. Oh, here's your bike's back.
Yeah,
this is it.
Back.
Okay, so you have.
So this is.
Is it a big? It's a big old seat tube, ovalized.
Yeah. So I made this carbon seat tube.
Okay. Very cool.
So that's made in the basement.
Need some gel coat.
Yeah. I've been going back and forth on the finish because I kind of like seeing the raw carbon. I did my.
What about filth?
Filth?
Filth. Oh, this shit. Oh, clean that. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah. So like. This one was a real experience because this is 3D printed titanium. This is, Pauline and I, this is my wife.
Hello.
rolling these in the basement.
Wait. Say hi.
Hi, I'm Paulina.
There we go.
She's also my paint designer. So
cool.
This is actually her bike. So you can see she drew all this up. So.
All right.
And so then I have a titanium stem cap here that's surface matched to the bike.
Okay, yep. Yep, I see it.
You know.
It's cool.
And so once again, it's all parametric. So all of this, if you want one,
right.
You know, scale it up and I'm ready
right.
to go.
You've done the work.
Exactly.
And is this a fabricated tube or is there a print going
that's
on here?
That's 3D printed, yes.
This is a print back here, that's a tube?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes,
cool.
And so the dropout's 3D printed as well to here. You can see the joint there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool stuff. I hope you have fun with this. Oh, I like your stand thing.
Yes. Yeah, so.
I got a buddy. He's got the craziest flexi clamp things. He's an engineer also, and when Uber shut down, he got like a pile of this stuff. But this is beautiful for a
awesome.
Show booth.
Well, because I had to come from North Carolina, so I had these boards cut yesterday at Home Depot.
Sure. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And so I had to find a way to kind of
creative show booth. Oh, I just noticed the let's just call them Cosworth feet.
I'll take it.
That's cool. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Cool. I hope you keep having fun.
I'm already having fun, so it's a good start.
And if it barely pays for itself, you're ahead of the game.
That's right here.
But it looks cool, and I'd like to see it in a couple years when you've really gotten there.
Yeah, I love it. Thanks for the opportunity, man.
All right,
it's good to have a chat.
Thanks for talking with me.